All right, it's a good afternoon and welcome to On the Radar. And of course, this is a Friday edition. And without wasting time, we are having the IPC Shadow Minister of Works and Transport, that is, of course, Nelson Kalangula, who is going to get deeper on us on his views on why executive directors, some of them, should not be given chance, you know, as far as new positions are concerned. In fact, he's saying they should be punished for failing to deliver it their respective and previous, you know, role as EDs than being given new positions. So we are going to be with him shortly. And then after that, we are also going to be with Velvicia. And of course, they are going to tell you a lot of things, a lot of wonderful and very interesting, you know, information. So please stay glued on your app, radio, or whatever device that you are using to listen. All right, let's get into it, and then we'll be right back.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, we are here, and Mr. Nelson Kalangula is online. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing today?
Very good.
Wonderful.
Yes, so we are talking about EDs, executive directors, that, you know, your view in your argument, you are saying that they shouldn't get new positions. Why?
Well, it is not per se to say about ED getting new positions as a result of maybe cutting them on that. My position, as I wrote the statement yesterday, which is titled Recycle or Transfer of Failure, that's a crisis of governance. And that speaks also of good governance. What we have is in Namibia, and what we have picked up in Namibia, is the mere fact that many of the people that get to be appointed in positions are people that are having a bad track record in their previous positions. Some of them have been investigated, and the findings were found, recommendations were given, but no action was taken. As a result, you get to see this person is now heading another institution. That is rather concerning, that some of these high official office bearers don't get to be punished for violation of policy that they have contravened in their previous roles. As a result, they get rather rewarded with new higher positions. That speaks to bad governance, and it also implicates and complicates governance further going forward, and puts the government in a bad position, because instead of getting rid of the bug that created a mess in the first place, you are promoting it to a higher position, which holds the possibility of creating future messes and bad errors in governance going forward. We already see the trajectory our government is going to, mistake after mistake. Now, with this one, I've been following particularly well, especially containing and pertaining the statement that I wrote. It is on those two ED, one of Works and Transport, which I've received a report of 2014 from Deloitte, which implicated him or alleged him to have violated policies of Air Namibia, where he held a previous position of general manager of technical and so forth. But today, he is the executive director of Works and Transport, a higher position, matter of fact, that advises the minister in many aspects pertaining to the rail, road, aviation, and even so now advises the minister on the new establishment of an airline. Now, having an airline being investigated before in 2014, which money was paid for to get Deloitte to investigate Air Namibia? The reason why they had to investigate is to see what was going on, what was going wrong with that airline, so they can make corrections there too. What do? The findings and recommendations in that whole report, they pack it and hide it somewhere and not make it public and do not take action of the findings. As a result, years later, this Air Namibia is liquidated and you budget 20 million for a feasibility study for findings on how to bring about a new airline. Findings which you probably could have found in that report that you paid 500,000 or even close to a million for of taxpayers' money, which you could have applied those recommendations to correct that airline that you liquidated. So now you are spending 20 million again on feasibility study. You see the errors that come after you have ignored the recommendation of findings of investigations that you have paid for. So that in itself I termed as a recycle of failure, because this person has failed before and you are now promoting them. Now today they are advising you on the same matter that they failed on before. Now on the second ED, whom served at Namibia Airports Company previously, he was found guilty on various allegations and, of course, violations of company policy, leaking information to the bidders, and so forth. But that report states that recommendations were given for this matter to be reported to the Anti-Corruption Commission. That was never done. As a result, we got to see that she is now heading the Namibia Civil Aviation Authority, a higher position. Matter of fact, placing her in a position to advise the minister on regulation matters pertaining the civil aviation. Now, what does that tell you? That these two executive directors are now sitting center to advise the minister on aviation matters. As a result, they advise the minister on the new airline. And I have asked in the parliament before, what is the secrecy of the new airline? Who is involved? But the minister did not want to tell me on that task force. The idea was for me to advise the minister that, hold on, be careful. You need to get experts that are not tainted, that have not conducted or committed any failure in the past, because you need to bring in fresh ideas, fresher approaches. The idea of bringing people that have failed before is exactly what keeps government going in the wrong direction, and that speaks totally against bad governance. Now, it is not only entirely about those two executives. You can go further and look in two other companies as well. Transnamib is one. You see and you have seen reports on Transnamib, how badly they are doing at governance. But today you see the same person who failed at Transnamib get transferred to another state-owned enterprise. What does that tell you? It means that the same errors that you found at Transnamib that was conducted by this very person that you are promoting elsewhere is likely to be transferred to that new institutions that you are transferring or promoting that person to. Now, this also speaks against bad governance because, and that is why I call it a transfer of failure. You are taking failure from this instead of getting rid of that failure. You are transferring it to another or another state-owned enterprise. Or, matter of fact, you promote that failure so you can further push it to another part of government. Now, what does that do to government itself? It cripples government and governance itself. And what overall implication does it have unto the people that government serves? It brings bad services, such as perhaps you can say ideas and decisions such as the potholes on the highways. It brings bad decisions such as bringing an airline and getting in negotiations with people and agreements that we have not reviewed thoroughly, and aviation experts have not dug into, scrutinized to see if we are making the right choices or not. Because today we are not sure what decisions and what have we signed and with whom have we signed for this new airline to come. Because we can see who the advisors are now, clearly.
All right. So if somebody said you are conducting a witch hunt campaign against individuals, what will your response be?
Well, a witch hunt is normally someone stating something without any documents to prove for. The reports are there. The people have been investigated before. I'm clearly just stating that, look, why has these recommendations not been followed? And clearly you could see that reports come with investigation. And they come with a recommendation as well. My point here is, why are we paying for investigation and not following the recommendations? It's clearly like saying you're auditing a firm for the mere purpose of getting those financial records and statements to better themselves from adverse or disclaimer to become unqualified at the end of the day. But then the auditors are not listened to and the recommendations are not followed. What do you get? You continue getting a disclaimer. But here we are, having paid for investigation reports, millions, or perhaps running to that those amounts, but yet we do not concentrate on these recommendations that are there. So this is clearly not witch hunt. I'm just stating the obvious that there are reports, and the reports can be made public, and they are there for the indulgence of the whole public. My point here is, why do you take someone who has not done well in governance, and you put them elsewhere, and matter of fact, you put them at a higher position? What does that speak to governance? That is our position in this regard.
Okay, now, that is your position, but where is your position going? Is there going to be any tangible result to your perception and position and point of view, or is it going just to end on dead ears? And should it end on dead ears, what do you think the way forward is?
Well, we have approached Anti-Corruption Commission also to ask what they have done about it. That's one. And as a result, why we are moving with this stance is also to allow other people, such as graduates that are out there, and experts that are not able to come for these positions because there's a constant recycling of these executive directors, because the same face you see here, you see at another place. And that has been a blockage of other professionals that also want to take part in this process. But now my position is, why do we disallow the good people that are less tainted, that can perhaps come and participate in these industries and get promoted as a result, on good ethical governance? This is what we are talking about. But we do not want it now to end to death ears. We want to amplify it. And I've been speaking on good governance ever since I joined Parliament. I've been asking, what are we doing? And every time I rise, I say, in respect of good governance, because that is what I want. You cannot speak on public policy by identifying the need, by scrutinizing the need, and of course doing research unto and consulting the people on what they want, and not coming back to the people to review again to see if this is working. What we are doing now is to review, and I'll continue reviewing to see if it works. If it doesn't work, I'll revisit it again and ask accordingly. What do we do to clean up? Because our idea as opposition are also to clean up and to hold the government to account. Now, if they don't want to be held to account, we will not rest until the government comes clean and say that we are doing our best to work for the people in good governance, and so we can ensure that the people are adequately served. Hello?
Mr. Nelson.
Yes.
Yes. You can... The issue is, why is Parliament not informed? Why is Parliament not informed on the decision made from executive level? Why does it seem that you guys are left on to guess who signed what, and you keep asking or you are begging while you are legislative?
Correct. So that's a very good and interesting question. And I would answer in this respect that the reason why we ask many questions is to see what type of government do we have to save. To save meaning that what do we have to look at for correction and for advising? Our job is to scrutinize, legislate, and, of course, represent. Now, we come into a new government, and, of course, we want to correct the wrongs that have been done and so forth and advise accordingly. This is why we ask many questions. This is why we see some of the things are done this way, and we are to the contrary on the way it is done. So we try and ask, what have you been doing? What are you going to do about it? So we can come up with a form of a motion to correct these errors. This is the reason why we kept asking questions. And this is why most of the questions kept piling up in Parliament, because the ministers often also do not come with questions on time. And most of the time they are not available. But it is a challenge of Parliament itself. But most of the times you just see that the ministers are signing documents elsewhere or agreements elsewhere, and you're not informed. When I asked about the Air Namibia issue, I was told flatly on the floor that it's a secret. It's a sensitive issue. We do not understand how sensitive it is, if it is going to cost the taxpayers billions of amounts of money. Now we are told we are buying aircrafts worth of over 600 million, which is taxpayers' money. Now, the issue will be, how do we get to manage this airline? We are going to pay for salaries. We are going to pay for overflight charges. We are going to pay for landing fees, and. The list goes on. Operational fees. The list goes on. This, the public ought to know whom we are signing with, what agreement are we signing with, and I kept telling the minister in public that him who control your airspace, him who control your training, your fleet, and your executives, if you get to sign with them such agreements, they will eventually control your airline. And as a result, it becomes a security issue in my matter. So the idea of secrecy and agreements that the Parliament is not enlightened on is rather a concern on our sides. And this is where most of the questions comes in.
But is it not constitutional that executive can make decisions that are independent from legislative?
Well, they make their decisions on policy matters, correct? And their job is to administer, hence the word minister. Yeah, and executive, and to execute, hence the word executives. our job as legislators is to legislate and scrutinize. And a parliament means to speak, as it says in the French, parler, is to debate on such matters, to hold the executives and the ministers to account. Now, anything that they do that is not to the contrary, I mean, that is contrary to what the public wants and what governance speaks to, we have to speak and ask questions pertaining that. Now, if you are constantly promoting executives that we see are going through with reports that have been written all over, that we ought to ask. And of course, we need to raise red flags so we can save what is there to be saved in government.
Okay, but is there any law that makes it easier for you not to get informed of what executive is doing, which you view that it might compromise the, you know, the security apparatus of the country, in fact also just, you know, lead the country into the same chaos that we have seen with Air Namibia when it was, you know, operational? Is there maybe any law which gives the executive loopholes that binds you not to demand accountability from executive?
Well, in most cases, we approach through the committees. We have that mandate to subpoena when something of that nature comes. But at times, it is a very long process, and we go through motions to debate on certain matters, but the list keeps piling up, and the processes are a bit slow. So one has to try by all means to get the minister to answer, and hence why we keep asking questions. So that is a routine and a system that has been part of parliament throughout those years. But through the composition of parliament as it stands now, it has become very difficult to get that process in a faster and a pacier way. We have also now also sought to relook at our parliament rules in that regard to see how we can make these motions come up faster and how we can make our committees more effective in regard to public hearings, in regard to summoning the minister on certain aspects. But the committees are in place, but it's not always that you get this information expedient as it can get. But like I said, ministers at times are not forthcoming when you're asking for these things. They have perhaps another perception to say that you, what do you want to do with it? But as a result, you want to advise and you want to do your work as a legislator in order to avoid us having bad decisions as that we have done in the past.
But what happens if a minister is summoned by your committee and does not appear? What happens?
Well, that's a gross violation.
And then what do you do? What are the consequences?
Well, it ought to be, because it's a constitutional mandate, and we have all sworn under that constitution that they are obliged to show up when they are summoned by a committee. So it holds dire consequences, or of course a discussion will have to be made with the executive head, and of course there's just no way that they cannot show up when they are summoned.
All right, Mr. Nelson Kalangula, thank you very much for your time, and we wish you a great Friday ahead. Thank you very much for being with us on the radar.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate your usual call unto accountability and getting clarity on matters. And thank you to the listeners for sharing, for giving me their ear as I speak to Eagle FM and to the rest of the country. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, that was, Nelson Kalangula, the Shadow Minister of Works and Transport, viewing there that failure should not be transferred or should not be recycled. You know, somebody's just microwaved. It's like, you know, putting an ED from one place to the other. The ED that failed to perform at their last ministry, their last, you know, executive position, and you shift them to another place. It's like you are warming last week's food. So that food is already, you know, contaminated and all that. So that's not fresh food. So in his argument, is like, please, let's give people that can perform. Let's give them more chance to perform. And those who could not perform must be brought to task and must be punished and banished. So there's a difference between banishment and punishment. So they must be banished from not holding.
Get you saved today, where every penny counts. Get 1 liter of Clover Long Life Custard, just $29.99 Namibian dollars. 1 kilogram tub of Everyday Yogurt, just $39.99 Namibian dollars. Get 2 kilos of Numb Milk Omaede, just $52.99 Namibian dollars. Get 125 grams of Kloof Coffee, just $20.99 Namibian dollars. 750 grams of Cremora Creamer, just $58.99 Namibian dollars. Discounted prices on Rhodes Tin Food and Polonies too. You save the low budget grocery store where good food costs less.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, without wasting time and further ado, we are joined online by Mr. Ezekiel Johannes from Vilvicia University, and who is going to tell you wonderful, interesting, beautiful, powerful, tangible, you know, everything about whatever you need to know about, you know, Vilvicia University. Good afternoon, Mr. Ezekiel.
Afternoon, sorry.
All right.
Afternoon, how are you, sir?
Very good.
Yes.
Yes, so you are now in the midst of the audience, which are the listeners.
Yes.
Yes, and I just want to give you ample time to be able to talk to your to the listeners who are the potential, your potential, you know, clients, and just tell them what you have for them today.
Yes, today on the Innovation Corner, this is one of our programs that we started with Vilvicia University, and the idea is to inspire people around innovation, research, and the role that academic plays within the economy.
Mm.
So the idea today, we are talking about research that matters, turning knowledge into solution for Namibia. So when you look at most of the academic institutions, they do research. But the question that one has to have in mind is that, does that research have an impact to the society? Particularly in Namibia, when you look at the challenges that we are facing, and what would be the national priority when it comes to research? What should the government do? What should the private sector do? What should the academic do? And that is the thinking around today's topic. So we are saying that, yes, of course, academics have the knowledge, but is this knowledge being useful in finding solution for the society problem? So for today's topic, what we are saying is that when you look at the university itself, it has long been recognized as a center of knowledge and creation. And every year, when you look at in terms of academics and researchers, there's a lot of thousands of papers that are being produced from universities. But for Namibia itself, if you look at the idea around research, we want to say that it must be a catalyst of economic growth, innovation, and sustainable development. Now, how can Namibia position itself? If you look at the UNESCO, in terms of what UNESCO is saying, is that global spending on research and development is now exceeding about $2.8 trillion, you know, annually. But if you look at the African countries, especially Namibia, the research contribution in terms of funding is 0.65, which is less than 1% of the GDP. But the idea is to contribute that funding to that research. Are we together?
We can hear you.
Yes. But now, what will be the responsibility of universities like Belvitia? Our responsibility really is to really just extend beyond just doing writing journals or just publishing researchers or just writing. But what we want is to find what are the problems in terms of the public policy, in terms of the health system, in terms of businesses. How can one support businesses and make sure that research it leads to...
Yes, Mr. Ezekiel?
Yes, we are together?
Yes, we can hear you. Please just continue.
So the thing I'm trying to drive here is to say that, yes, of course, there must be enough funding, but we must also have researchers that are motivated and able to do research so that they can find solutions in the society. Now, at Velvicia, we believe that research begins with listening to society first, meaning that one needs to understand what is the society need. And researchers must work closely with government, industry, healthcare providers, entrepreneurs, and local communities, so that they can identify what are those challenges and how, so that their researchers or the solutions are evidence-based solutions. Now, if you think about it in general, and what most of the universities are doing, there isn't really a proper motivation into the researchers and the lecturers and the students in the academy, so that whatever they are doing, it should be something that makes sense to the economy. So I think the point that I'm trying to make through my article is really to kind of, if I can put it in a way to say, to motivate the researchers, to motivate the lecturers and the students to think around, you know, making research that have impact. If you look at, we have about four big universities, and Richard University is one of the second largest university. You want to think that whatever research they are doing, they can also do research in collaboration with each other, working together, maybe establishing kind of an academic research committee that can help them collaborate properly. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so you mentioned earlier that research and development in other countries or other parts of the world is of the is worth 2.8 trillion.
Yes.
And while in Africa is somewhat 0.5.
Yes.
So what can make R&D, what can increase the wealth of R&D in Africa, for example, in Namibia?
I think, first of all, if you look at our FISA itself, with the funding from the government, yes, of course, the focus is really for development, but we also have to think in long term. So government must come to play to really, we have an institution like the NCRFC that is supporting in terms of research. But I can tell you now that with the funding that is happening now, it's not enough so that we can be able to do research. Secondly, is that there is a lot of funding available worldwide, where also my office from the university is looking at to say, where are the funding, where can we bring in the funding so that we can do that research. But if you look at that research most of the time, there is already kind of set priority sectors, and those sectors might not even align with our priority sector at the university level and also at the national level. Maybe through that. But the other thing is that you also want to get private sector coming on board so that they can say, this is what we want in our private sector. How do you come in as a university so that you can do research, so that they can fund that research, so that it becomes a research that is funded by industry. And I think the one that is funded by industry makes even more sense, because industry knows where the problem is and how they can bring that solution so that it can generate revenue. I hope I've answered your question.
Yes, but what impact does lack of funding in R&D has on society?
No, if you look at that, when you are talking about research and also problems that are happening, is that the researchers need a motivation. And motivation comes with funding. And if there's no funding, it means there's no motivation within universities so that research can really be impactful. And also, even though we have challenges in solution, nobody's really motivated unless there is other way of motivating lecturers than funding. But funding is on top of the list. So that's why if we have funding, we will be able to motivate lecturers, we will be able to motivate students. But also the other thing, even if you have funding and there's no platform, so one have to look at developing the platform for the lecturers and students to be able to develop solutions. Yeah.
Mr. Ezekiel, okay, so when we are talking about motivation for researcher, that's a very important topic. Point. But what about the people who are the source of that information that the researchers are getting? Do they get anything also motivation, or does motivation only is it only centered on the researchers?
That's a very good question, and it's all at the same time tricky. What one need to do, especially because research, if it's impactful to the society, there must be a model in a way that helps them and motivates them so that they can be part of the research. One way, obviously, yes, of course, when you are doing research, you might even need to conduct surveys and what most of the researchers do is to kind of have some incentives for these participants in the research. Incentives like maybe, let's say, awards or some funding and so forth. But at the national level, when you are doing research, one has to have a permit, for example, and that permit has to come through the government. So there is some fees that are paid there, and that can cascade into society. But also what you are saying is that whenever somebody's research, if let me say you are doing research on indigenous knowledge, one have to to get a permit, and if they get a permit, the government now give direction on how that research must be done, so that the people are not that are affected can also understand what it means to do that research. But at the end of the day, you will have what we call the benefit sharing, the benefit sharing ABS, which is under the Ministry of Environment, for example, if you are doing under Indigenous Knowledge. So basically, those type of framework help to motivate and make the people that are part of the research to be motivated to know that, yes, of course, there is this research that is being conducted is beneficial to us, and is also beneficial to the society at large. There is other forms that other countries are using, but basically for now, that's the ones that I can highlight.
All right. Okay. The last question, Mr. Ezekiel. This is quite interesting. Thank you for this innovation corner. But the question is, all right, so let's just hold up.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 mL Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You Save. Where else?
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
All right, Mr. Ezekiel, sorry we had to go for a commercial break there, and it caught me off guard. So what I was trying to inquire is, who determines who the researcher is? And it seems that only the researchers... that word researcher is only centered on people with academic prowess.
Yes. If we go deep into definition of what kind of research, maybe that would be a topic of another day.
Yeah.
But who determines who should be the researcher? In institution, there is always, some of the institutions have a center of research and innovation and partnership. And some of the university have what we call R&D, research and development. Some institution have research and development. So basically within the university, depending on the sector and depending on the speciality of that specific lecture or specific person in terms of the point of discussion, that is where now they have to identify that this research can be conducted under this school. If it's, let's say, it's about pharmaceutical, then obviously you have to go to the School of Pharmacy and you have to work with the laboratory. Does it have to do with the laboratory? That's how they are chosen. But within the country, because of available opportunities, if you look at the fundings of research that are available, any institution that is have the capability of doing research can be able to do that. If it's a research in industry, for example, they have a department on research that focus on researching on whatever research interests they have. So that is how it's done. The innovation corner is really here to kind of motivate and help the people to say, what can, under the university, especially Valvechia University, we want to be able to be working with different researchers, even individual researchers. Individual researchers can do research. So we want to be able to work with people, talk to people, so that we can solve real-life challenges.
Right. Mr. Ezekiel, any final words from your side? And please, after you give your final word, I will ask you to kindly hold the line for me for a few seconds.
Yes. What I can say is that I think the topic for today is research with impact. And what we want to say is that when it's come to research, when it's come to universities, when it's come to industry, when it's come to social, civil society, is that when research is connected to society needs, research becomes innovation. Innovation creates opportunity, and opportunity drives national development. That is the kind of research that truly matters.
All right, Mr. Ezekiel Johannes, thank you very much, and I wish you a great Friday ahead. And please just stay on the line for a little while.
Thank you.
Right.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, we are here. We are back. That was Velvetia University with Innovation Corner. That is Innovation Corner, who is talking about, you know, R&D, research and development. Because most of the solutions that came out in many countries that have made meaningful impact in society as far as development is concerned are coming through, you know, research and development. But that only can become true when research and development is taken serious by government agencies and by government as a whole, and then fully funded. You will see that we will have solution-driven, research, and I think we can move forward. But we leave it there. That is for Velvetia and other universities to sort out. Ours is just to provide the platform to connect both you and the institutions that, you know, matters, that matter as far as your life and future is concerned. Yes.
Yes, Brother Franz.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I didn't know that the program was live because I did not start with you from the beginning. But I started even the current interview conversation that you had with the Honorable Kalangula is the current one.
Yeah,
this one has gone very far, and I love it. Plus the Ezekiel one. Is it this Ezekiel, the Mr. Katendi, or?
No,
it
is Ezekiel Johannes.
Ezekiel Johannes, okay.
Yeah, from Velvetia University.
I really wish to study with that university, man. At one point in time.
You want to study what? You are old, man.
So, some of these professions...
Uncle Bana, you want to study what? You are old.
Functional skills. I'm currently studying now. Currently studying. Imagine, this is the second year already.
Okay.
So you see, some of these professions, you don't need even any other profession anyway. Provided you acquire these functional skills.
Yeah.
Soft skills, and we are not even there for soft skills. So the conversation that you had with me, Mr. Karangula, is more on this area that I'm talking on. So now, of course, you are good because when you look at our constitutionalism, it clearly and specify the separation of power. So this, the executive branch is quite enough, it's good. And the registration. Some people say, yeah, they are somehow not very good in terms of, but it's completely clear. Each and every one of those three branches, they perform their own specific mandate as dictated by the Constitution. So now, of course, when it, you see, most of the accountability that you talk more about, to call, to just engage with the executive and all those in parliament, including others, National Assembly, and all these other things, even the National Council. So there are clear, specific roles for us to call them to account. So maybe it's just a matter of now even looking at that particular area to call the leadership to account. And before that, before the masses could do that, they should themselves also put themselves to account. Because the masses and the people in the rural area are not able to seriously have that platform or know-how to call those ones to account. So that then ourselves, we should start with ourselves, because some of those aspirations and the promises, you call them promises, me I call them aspirations. So, and you know, the needs are already identified. Even when they go into those fact-finding missions, they are there at identifying needs. So we need serious action on those ones. Go to the people back again, the traditional authority, and all those stakeholders that are involved in this process, and start facilitating for the creation of this income generating activity in the rural area. That is so difficult.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with the executive, registration, and judicial. Of course, sometimes there might be some dual influences, which at the moment I haven't seen, except when the people are saying, no, this one cannot be appointed at this position because he's a member of this PDM or member of SWAPO and all these things. And those people, they are working independently, as independent. There's no dual influence there. If you discover some kind of dual influence, you obviously call people to account and say, yeah, there's no transparency here, and you are overstepping into other people's mandate. Therefore, don't delay, unlike what they are doing in parliament. So they delay more of the issues that are affecting the nation outside there because of their squabbling and quarreling. This one is, the motion is from this other party and things like that. And therefore, we cannot appoint this particular person, despite the fact that the person can perform. Are you telling me that all these SWAPO members in the DPA, they cannot be accommodated in this structure? So if the person is biased, you call them to account.
It's PDM. Yeah.
PDM. I always miss that thing, the PDM, but I know their principles and their culture is almost the same. Isn't it?
You are provocative, you.
So please, let's take ourselves to account, the research. That time I cannot say anything because most of those journals that are written, because I know there's a lot of articles when it comes to this UCL University. And I'm sure now in terms of funding, UNESCO, we have been talking about them, all those UN bodies. Because many of those gaps identified by researchers trying to close, because the major issue of research is to close the gap and to solve the problems of society. And so now you add to the knowledge that we have. So that most of these gaps and needs are being identified. Maybe it's just that, yes, of course, the government and all these things, even in some institution in the government, you don't see R&D there. You maybe see development So all these needs are identified. The policies are formulated and all these things. Where they are, they need some reform, we can do that. Then just implement the issues. I mean, the programs and strategies. It's the implementation that is lacking. Even Mr. Honorable Kalangula should just say, yes, let's go. When they go back there, they present the report, they say, yes, the regions, people should implement things. Oh. Thank you very much, Mr. Franz.
Thank you very much.
So I think sometimes it's also important that when they are there, we post them with some questions and ask them.
Okay, no, that's very important. We'll create a special program where everyone comes in. I think that this one was a short interview.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Hi, I'm Bikini Kempinga Nembinga. Tuatini na tuataya lapo ofikola yoni lota popi ilimonsa tiri jena. Upo ni hava ningongenda bala kesho dula vakale va onganeka kupopsa na unona na vavo kutu watu wengo mkumo nosho nosho upo ni nokuli paife atuka ashike mengunda fana no mkulunu fikola tateshivute bekele tateshivute na tukupo pife omuhalo ulito na wa
omuhalo ulito na wa
ok
nyomuhara pa na tu
atu hara pa nao
ewa
ai pa makupo fengo pa pwikini kupikina po radio shova kalimo vo omsati.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or
Eagle FM. The views and opinions expressed by our guests are
alright, so I'm just hanging in here, but my time is up. I'm just hanging in for 5 more minutes because there are people that have won. They are vultures. They are vultures. I don't even know how to pronounce that word. You have won your vulture and you deserve my call. You deserve my call. You deserve my call. Therefore, we are going to have you called online here. Everybody's going to hear it when it rings to say prr, prr, because some of you are saying, no, Eagle FM is trying to call their own. Mm-mm. We are going to call so that you hear it on the radio when it is going to make prr, prr. Yes, so that you hear that it is true. We are calling the person. So I'm just waiting for the numbers to come in, and we are going to do it. So we are going to do it today. We are going to do it now. Somebody is about to smile. Somebody is about to smile, walking away with a ShopRite voucher. Somebody is about to smile. Somebody is about to smile. Okay, so let's go for a short break so I find out how far my colleagues are with that preparation. Omahalelo mawa.
Alishundale kupikina uka matiko kapofi.
Omapandulo.
Da, aye na tupandule nye pangiru wako tule tupochiko kuta.
E indi loku jamashiwana.
Otati indire e pangiru getu gitu ya mbidide. Apashiwana ayoke mbashu. O vurashita ya paife. O mbashu zetu o hadikara ziriko hiyomea. No hatu kala tulimodi huu unene.
Omahele kopalifi.
Omiramba na difuvira mwenduka, sazozo ade dembo.
Komatirifo.
Todhe nguanga kantu esikuli mweka matingweko kaposi.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, it seems we are eating on Peniambeko's time. We are eating on Peniambeko's time. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. So, if not, then I think those numbers, Peniambeko can run the draw from the north, and then they can take their number there. All right. So I'm just waiting. Okay. It seems finally we've gotten. I can see Francina is here. Francina, you are telling me the number. I want to call it. The call. Yes.
Yes, because yours was very short, Moscow.
The what?
Yours was very short. Your program, huh?
Yeah.
That's why you did not even conclude.
My program is ending now, Uncle Buana. So let's meet again. On Monday.
So we come and conclude.
Yes.
We have not concluded.
We can come and conclude.
Okay, my brother.
Thank you.
God bless.
Okay. Now, we are going to call... Wait. Because we want to prove that it is done live, okay? So, you can hear that. So, what's the number? 081? 31... 98. No, wait. Okay. We start over. 081-31-98-651. Okay. So I want you to hear it when it rings. It's calling. Do you have the name? Samuel. It's ringing. I just want you to get the proof that we are doing it live here now. Somebody's about to walk out with a voucher.
You entered the voicemail of 2-6-4-8-1-3-1-9-8-6-5.
Okay. We are going to try it again. For the last time. If not, we surrender the mic to Penny. Okay. No, we are trying this one for the last time. Everyone deserves a second chance. Okay. Mr. Samuel, we are looking for you. Yeah. That's a sign that Mr. Samuel did not pick up. So now we are getting to the next number. That one is for who? Okay, Ruth, 081-31-57-199. Okay, that is for Ruth. Ruth is about to smile. Just wait. Somebody's waiting. It's waiting for a mega vulture. About to walk away smiling. Hello?
Yes?
Yes, Ruth.
Yes, sir.
This is Franz from Eagle FM.
Yes, sir.
Yes. You are walking out. I don't know whether you are walking out or walking in or walking away with a ShopRite voucher.
Yay! Thank you.
So you're
thank you very much. I did answer those questions yesterday.
You did answer the questions?
Yes. The three items,
right? Yeah. So,
one for ShopRite.
So, please go and shop right. Don't go and shop wrong.
Yeah?
Go and shop right.
Go and shop right.
Don't go and shop wrong. You are going to shop right. You got a, you are yes. walking away.
Then I will take the right item.
Yes. So, you'll be conducted by my colleagues that are dealing with this issue as to when you should pick up your voucher.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Franz.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Right.
I want a 500 voter. ShopRite. It's ShopRite, Mosh.
I wanted to keep that one at least so that you hear that ShopRite is doing miracles here. Now, the last one. Okay. The last one. Oh, the people did not even hang up yet. They are excited. Okay. Now. Rusa 081-27-64-102. Okay. Rusa. Listen. Somebody's about to smile. ShopRite is doing miracles.
Hello?
Hello, Rusa.
Yeah?
How are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Very fine. Mm. You are speaking to Franz from Eagle FM.
Okay.
Did you recently participate in ShopRite competition?
Yes.
Okay, where are you speaking from?
I'm in Windhoek.
You are in Windhoek?
Yes.
You have walked away, you are walking away or walking in or walking out with a ShopRite voucher.
Wow.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So you will be contacted by my colleagues to inform you as to when you will collect your voucher.
Okay. It's thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Wow. Yeah,
okay. Right. This is for Samuel. We end it here. So please, let's do this again next time. Keep participating. ShopRite is the way to go. Thank you very much. Have a very great weekend.